Blog Talk Radio.
George, come on out here and join me, because I want to talk to you.
Well, hello everybody. Kyler Davenport here, Lone Wolf, 6:05 p.m. on the clock, 12:21, I don't know what it is, 12:13, 2023, who cares? Who cares anymore, really, to tell you the truth, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Yeah, this house here done gone crazy, man, let me tell you. Thank you, producer, for getting us up tonight. I appreciate you out there. I know you're listening in my green room there. Appreciate you getting us up on the satellites in New York and Australia. Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be back here on Blog Talk Radio. I tell you what, it feels good to be home. Kind of amazing, really, that we're back here. Kind of history repeating itself. I've done hundreds of shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Got four screens going tonight, 32 platforms, and God knows what else Marion's doing over there with her wizardry, her digital wizardry. I tell you, she's something else. Lots of folks listening. My God, our numbers are off the wall over here. Man, I had no idea. I literally had no idea. I was looking at these analytics yesterday. I just happened to glance over at the analytics, which I hardly ever do. And they're just spiking, and we're just spiking off the wall, man, on downloads, literally. 243,000 downloads in this thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Getting out all over the world, I mean, it's just literally amazing. This technology is amazing, but, you know, even that being said, you have to wonder why things are not really changing for the better with all of the information that people have that are contrary to this dystopia that's being placed upon us. You would think that with all of the information that we have in the positive direction, you would think that people would be, you know, changing their modus operandi, you know, that people would be realigning, reorganizing, restructuring, thinking about thinking, becoming more conscious of consciousness and doing the research and looking out there to see what is possible, you know. And we talked about this a little bit last night about potentiality, you know, information comes in and then we have potentiality, then we develop possibilities, and then we work within the realms of those possibilities to make the changes that we feel necessary to become more synchronistic and more balanced in the matrix and be able to navigate this very complex matrix that we exist in inside this simulation. It's amazing, totally amazing. Elon Musk coming out today in a private meeting talking about Neuralink again, merging everyone with the Borg, with the machine. You know, they're trying to sell this thing as, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. And, you know, we're just going to insert a little chip in your occipital lobe there and use a robot to do it, and it won't even be invasive, really, you know, just lay down and close your eyes, and, you know, 25 minutes later, whatever, bang, you're now melding with the Borg, you know, and you can have telepathy, and you can run your computer with your mind, your thoughts, and you can run your cell phone with your thoughts, and do all these other magnificent, superhuman kind of things, you know. They're selling it as such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, you know. And it's just totally dystopic, totally insane technology, Frankensteinian technology. You know, I just see Frankenstein laying there on the table with Dr. Frankenstein running around with his hair standing straight up on his head saying, "It's alive! It's alive!" Crazy, man. Crazy. Man. Yeah, I'm looking at all of the biotech that's going on. My God, the stuff they're doing with the biotech is just unbelievable today, man. And, you know, with the genomic technologies that they've got going today, you know, with the Human Genome Project and, you know, melding with the Borg, it all comes down to AI, you know, it all comes down to artificial intelligence and machine learning, ladies and gentlemen. In the end, you know, it's going to bite us in the ass. And, you know, the problem is all of these socialists, you know, and Marxists who don't really even know what socialism is. It's a precursor to communism. You know, socialism sounds great in theory, you know. Steal from the rich, give to the poor, level out the playing field, have a smaller government, and so forth and so on. It's all just bullshit. But people have fallen for it. They've fallen for this socialistic paradigm and this Marxist paradigm, and it's an amazing kind of thing. They call it culture. Well, cult, C-U-L-T, sure. Cult, when you stop and think about what culture really is, you know. I wrote in my opening statement tonight, tonight I will go in depth concerning this myth of the beast system, and we're going to talk about that because this has been getting a lot of emails and a lot of PMs about this, wanting me to explain the situation. I want to just talk about this beast system that everybody's talking about, the Christians especially are talking about, and even some others who are agnostic and humanist are talking about the beast system, and even some pantheists I'm hearing talking about the beast system, and even some scientists and philosophers, I'm hearing them mention this word, the beast system, the beast system. You know, I want to explore and expose the complexity of this matrix and how this word came about. You know, millions and millions of people have been brainwashed and have zero critical thinking skills left in today's culture. They're being completely controlled by these highly technological systems that have been in place for thousands and thousands of years and are now being fine-tuned to bring in this full reset that Mr. Klaus Schwab has in mind for all of you and the World Health Organization over there in the United Nations, along with the CFR, and the World Bank and the World Monetary Fund and others. You know, the deep state, all these off books, black ops, deep state budgets are concentrated on working with agents from all over the universe and even beyond our space-time continuum, third-dimensional continuum, linear continuum in this particular realm to depopulate the planet and bring in everyone to their knees, just bring everyone down to their knees, literally, in this compendium of insanity, in complete submission to the powers that be, whoever that is, whatever that is, however that looks to many of you, depending on your educational background and experience and research capabilities. Many of you are so limited in your focus, so narrow-minded in your ability to comprehend and take in all of these multivariables and data sets and be able to calculate and symbolism and numerology and the esoteric and the occult and the ontological, as well as the, you know, the overall philosophy of how these things work and to do that and bring it about where you have some consensus as to what's going on at the basic level in the matrix. You have to be able to calculate so many different variables. It becomes very difficult for many who have lower IQ because of the environmental factors that have been in place for so long and all of the forever chemicals that we're being saturated with on a daily basis. I've so far counted 45,000 forever chemicals out there. And, of course, a lot of people will disagree with that number, and I really don't care. We started out with 1,400, and now we're just way, way, way up, pushing 5,000 on the 5,000 mark of these forever chemicals that are just very, very dangerous to our population, our global population, and these things are everywhere, you know. As we said on the show last night, they're going to get you one way or the other. I mean, they're not going to let you go. You know, I was talking to Chris last night about the vaccine. I mean, people say, oh, I'm unvaccinated. And I I say, no, you're not. You've been vaccinated. You've been indoctrinated. You know, you've already been stamped. You've already got your social credit score. It's done. You've got your digital ID. It's coming. You've got your CBDC. It's here. You got your smart cities agenda. You're living in it. You're, you know, you're trapped. You're stuck. Yeah, you know. And people say, oh, no, 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 no. We're going to beat this thing. We're going to beat this thing. You know, I was looking at some university studies, very interesting university studies back when Bernie Sanders was going to university and dealing with a lot of the different movements out there. They were doing some university studies, and they said that it would take like 23% of a population to be on the same exact page and have the same exact basic IQ or advanced IQ or intermediate IQ, and all of the data sets inside their cerebral cortex coming in through their five senses and have all of the same calculations and be able to grasp all of these different things that are coming in from all of these different directions and so forth to be able to perform any kind of revolution. And that's a lot of people. Chris can do the math on that. It's 23% out of 280 million people. Whatever that turns out to be, Chris is going to give me the number here in a minute. I'm sure he'll do it on the calculator. 280 plus million people, 23% of that would have to be on the exact same page and have the exact same information and basic background, experience, talent, intent, focus, intuitiveness, imagination, understanding of philosophy, logic, reason, and all of these other things in order to come to any kind of consensus, and then have to develop particular specific goals and objectives to be able to overthrow the current system or change the paradigm in any particular way that would be strong enough for people to notice. And that is going to be, I think, statistically an impossibility for that to happen. I don't see that happening anytime soon. It's hard enough to get people at a PTA meeting to agree on anything, or a board meeting to agree on anything, or an executive council meeting to agree on anything, let alone 23% of 280 million people to come together and do something that powerful. You know, it's just not going to happen. It's a great idea. It's a great concept, and it sounds good in theory, but to get it to actually work, yeah, well, Chris and I have been talking about how difficult it is to bring people together. Hell, it's difficult to get Chris and I together. We're not even together. I mean, in my playbook, I mean, it's difficult to come together and really come together. You know, people say, oh, we're together, man, you're my friend, I'd take a bullet for you. You know, Chris and I were talking about taking a bullet for each other last night. Well, it doesn't mean that we're running a powerful organization just because we're willing to jump out in front of a train, you know, for each other. I mean, we're not really doing anything. I mean, we're not really getting a return on investment. We're not reaching the people that we really need to reach. And even if we are they reaching back? And how much are they reaching back? And how powerful is that reach back? You know, are they getting it? You know, and what are their motivations when you reach out to people? You know, what are their motivations for helping you? What are their motivations for assisting you? What are their motivations for supporting your cause? And I know Elizabeth is here and a few other people who are trying to get things going, and they all will agree with me, I know, without me even asking, how difficult it is to bring people together to get them to complete a mission task, you know, or 25 tasks or 35 tasks or 75 tasks, you know, to come together in a very comprehensive way and formulate a plan that is going to be solid and comprehensive and is going to be ongoing and self-sufficient and self-maintaining and aligned with the powers that be, and also align with your own principles and your own morals and your own reason and your own logic and so forth. These are very difficult things to pull off. And as I speak of these things, I'm sure some of you are saying, wow, this is right. Kyler's right. You know, he's got it spot on. I mean, I've got it spot on here. I'm giving you the formula, you know, Formula One here. giving you the breaking news, you know, as to what it takes to be able to complete these massive complex tasks that we need to do in order to have a powerful return on our investment of time and energy and talent and experience and passion and reason and logic and fulfill our dreams and our visions. Very, very difficult to do. Come together on the phone. I talk to a lot of people during the day, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, I'm smarter than that. You know, I'm smarter than a fifth grader. Well, sometimes smarter than a fifth grader, but you come together with people on the phone and yakety yak, 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 you know, and they talk back and blah, blah, blah. And when you're finished, nothing happens. You know, absolutely nothing happens. You haven't put $100,000 in your bank account. You know, you haven't put $1 million in your bank account. You haven't developed an affiliate marketing plan. You know, I was telling Marion this morning, and many of you are PMing me now, wanting me to continue talking about this issue because it's going so well tonight. I guess the narrative is kind of flowing and going. I'm channeling more than anything else tonight. But affiliate marketing, you know, people say, oh, you got to, affiliate marketing is great, man. You know, go over there on Spotify and open a store. You know, go over there on Etsy and open a store, man. They'll ship for you and everything, and it's all free shipping. And, you know, you got all these zillions of products from Amazon you can sell. Yeah. And I'm telling Marion, you know, why would I really want to go and, like, if I was a drug dealer, you know, why would I want to stand on the corner and sell nickel bags of crack or some big rich pimp, you know, drug daddy, when I could go kill the drug daddy and just take over his empire? You know, I mean, really think about it. I mean, why would you want to affiliate market for someone? Why would you want to sell John Doe's products and services whenever you can sell your own? You know, ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous for John Doe to say, hey, man, if you'll go out there and spend all of your time on the radio and all of your, use all of your platforms and groups and all of these different things you got going, man, and just put our products out there, man, I'll give you, you know, 6% of everything you sell, man. Wow. You know, you can make an extra $1,500 a month with me, man. You're selling my panties and pantyhose and diamond, fake diamond rings and necklaces and all these things and sexy, you know, lingerie for women and all this great stuff, man. And you're like, oh, man, 6%, $1,500 a month. But, you know, he's making $15,000 a month off of you. He's making $25,000 a month off of you. Why wouldn't you want to just cut out the middleman? You know, and I'm sure Chris's ears are perking up and Elizabeth probably too and a few other people. Why would you want to do any of that? Why wouldn't you want to just the middleman altogether, just knock him in the head with your shoe and just throw him in the bar ditch and just take over his business? Huh? Think about that, folks. Why wouldn't you want to find your own connection over in Southeast Asia or China or Taiwan or any of these countries that make products and ship them out, like India, you know, and bring in your own product and develop your own connection with the source, you know, of the materials, the source of the distribution, manufacturing, warehousing, whatever. You know, even if you had to take on the responsibility of shipping, you know, it would still profit you to have your own line of product and not have to go through a middleman. And a lot of people are doing this, and it's not easy to do because it's conventional. You know, everybody thinks conventional. You know, very few people can get out of the box far enough to get out of the poverty, you know, pool that they're drowning in. You know, they say, why am I so broke? Now, why am I so poor? Well, there's certain things that one needs to do in order to break through that wall of poverty, you know, and that wall of same old, same old, same old, and that wall of, you know, doing the same old thing in the same old way and getting the same old paycheck. You know, I sold, $500 worth of product, and I made $132 this month. You know, oh, how great is that? You know, why not sell $5,000 worth of product this month and keep $3,753? I mean, it just, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Affiliate marketing is so easy. They're selling it out there to everybody. And if you look out there on Etsy and you look out there on Spotify and some of these other Amazon platforms, you know, you see hundreds of thousands of people selling millions of products. Well, it sounds great. It looks great on the exterior side, you know. It looks great when you just kind of glance at it. It's like, oh, wow, this is a big deal, man. I've got access to millions of Amazon products. I can just sell those things. Well, everybody's doing that. Everybody and their Uncle Tom is doing that. Everybody and their little sister and their cousin and their nephew and their niece and their uncle, and everybody's doing that. Their friend, their coworker, the guy across the street, everybody's doing the same thing. So you've got all these millions of people trying to sell to millions of people millions of products. It doesn't make any sense. What you need is a niche market. You need to create a niche market. And there's a lot been written about this. If you'll go out there and research, there's a lot been written about this, you know, and you can apply this same philosophy that I'm talking about tonight to other ventures and other things, you know, not just products or services, but ideas, just ideas in themselves. There's always somebody trying to hone in on your business. There's always somebody wanting to get a cut of your business. You know what I mean? Drug dealers. I keep bringing drug dealers up because I used to run with a lot of drug dealers when I was undercover. And those guys are smart, 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 smart. I mean, they are smart. If you want to learn to be a good businessman, go to work for a top drug dealer, you know, pimp them and then come out and be a guerrilla entrepreneur, you know, because they know how to run their business. You know what I mean? They know how to run their business right. And it's amazing that I'm using this analogy, but it's true. It's so true. The big, big drug dealers, you know, they know how to run their business. And they don't take any shit from anybody. And they keep good books, and they bring people in that they can trust, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt. And they, you know, if you get in trouble with them and you steal from them and you start raking something off the top, you're going to find yourself in the trunk of a car with your throat slit. And it's, of course, I don't want people, I don't want y'all to go out and do that, but that's what happens. You know, that's what happened. That's how serious it is when you're out there making money. You know, you don't want people stealing from you. You know, Marion and I have had so many people stealing our ideas for years. You know, people have taken my ideas that I've talked about on air and just ran with them. People have stolen. We've brought people into the radio business, you know, for years, and they've ran off on their own. I can show you their pages, and they've ran off and started their own radio stations. They've stolen our management companies. They've taken away our guests, called them behind our back and had them on the air and then told them bad things about us, and, you know, gossip and slander and liable. And, you know, Marion and I have never really done anything about it. We just let them go. And eventually karma gets them, you know, and they fizzle out, you know, they fade away into the darkness and the shadows. But if I was a pimp daddy, you know, if I was a big drug dealer, they'd be in the trunk of somebody's car. You know, and they probably wouldn't be moving around too much. If I was running the business right, you know, they would metaphorically, they'd be in the trunk of somebody's car. Unalive, let's say, unalive. Yeah, that's a good word to use here, unalive, so we don't get demonetized or whatever, taken down. But, yeah, you need to do your own thing, your own product, your own materials, your own connections, direct connect, direct connect, direct connect. You want to direct connect. You don't want affiliate. You don't want to be an affiliate. You don't want to go out and sell somebody else's product, make them rich. You know what I mean? And there's so much of that happening right now. Now, don't get me wrong. Some commissions are good. Some commission companies are really, really, really good, and you can make a lot of money with some companies. But it's very, very rare. Very, 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 very rare that anyone is going to feather your bed and really care about you and your financial future. It's very rare that anyone is going to really have that kind of heart and that kind of compassion and that kind of giving spirit to be able to help you and people, especially in the nonprofit arena, which Chris and I talk about a lot. People really don't give a shit anymore about your nonprofit. They just don't give a shit like they did in the 70s and 80s, you know. Chris and I brought that up last night. You know, in the 70s and 80s, I could have 25 or 30 volunteers lined up at the end of this week, you know, to come in and help me with any project, you know, that has to do with feeding the hungry or housing the homeless or helping senior citizens or make people feel better or some mental health kind of program or something. I could have people lined up, you know, around the block in a month out. And I did, and I have, and I've experienced all of that. I've done all of that. And I could have people throwing money at me if, this was 70s, early 80s. I'd have people throwing money at the projects that Chris and I have going right now. They'd be throwing money at it, you know, for a tax write-off. It's just simply a tax write-off, and just simply because they feel good about themselves when they're helping you. But today, it's like, oh my God, you know, getting money out of people is like prying. It's like prying an impossible safe open, you know. It's like trying to remove a tooth from a live alligator, you know. I mean, it's almost impossible to get money out of people. And I'm sad about the whole thing. I mean, things have changed so drastically over the last 15 years, 20 years, that it just amazes me how people have gotten so greedy and selfish and self-absorbed, you know. Chris, are you with me? You want to make some comments on this narrative tonight? It's kind of moving along here smoothly. Or Elizabeth or anybody, 312-735. I'll open your mics up and let y'all talk the damn thing to work. Go ahead. You're open. Your mics are open. Anybody want to make a comment? Am I here all by my little self tonight? What's going on with you guys? Is anybody on?
Well, it certainly sounded like nobody wanted to say a word, did they?
Yeah, there's a lot of people here, but they don't want to talk.
I'm here.
A lot of people.
Tim
just
is here.
Yeah, well, Tim's been here with me for 20 years, so Tim's here. Yeah, Tim's here. But Chris, kind of channeling tonight. Moving through.
Yeah, you were. It did, and I was just sitting here letting you roll. I didn't mean to say a word. I was sitting there just, you know, having made a comment during your little spill, and I was like, you know, I would not be saying what he's saying. I said, that's the beautiful thing about just somebody that can flow having a conversation with someone. And, of course, to answer your question earlier, for 23% of 280 million people, that's 64,400,000 people. And if you think you're going to get them all to do something, you're crazy as hell.
Right.
You're crazy as hell.
Yeah.
That is not happening. that's a big old farce. I don't even know which way I could say that, you know, in some way something might work at a certain number. Hell, I couldn't tell you that number, quite honestly. I mean,
those stats came out of some major data sets. I mean, they came out of some real data sets, you know.
And it's saying it needs that many people to do the right thing at the same time, right?
To be able to turn this nasty ship around, to be able to turn this type of dystopia around, it would take that much.
I just want to go off the multiplicity of that. All right, mm-hmm. So I've got a scenario because I've got one. It's a living, real scenario, and it's happened, and the world is the oyster of this story. So the thing is, I've met a million people, not on the radio, face to face, and I had conversations with them, and I never asked them for money. Okay, I didn't want to reach in their pocket. I wanted them to reach into their Rolodex. And I wanted them to tell the other people that they know what they now know. And that's all I ask him to do. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that kicks my ass more than anything else out of anything else I've ever done in my life or seen is 99.99% of them did not do what they said they would do. They were fucking liars. They were fucking liars. They blatantly looked me in my face, said they were ecstatic, they excited, the man, can't believe this is really happening, and then do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most amazing thing that has blown my mind of exactly what will a human do. And that comes down to that question that I ask you, you know, I say it, I'm going to say it again. Who are you when no one's around, when you get to create and make a sound? Now, don't answer that question to me. If you did, you didn't listen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's your question. Right. And when I'm going to see your actions and I see yours, you're intentional. And I like intentionality because it's your personality.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is you have one monotone voice until you hit your passion. When something boils you and hits you, or rubs you the wrong way, or even lights you up inside, you can see it in the change of your tone of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
But you are very intense. But the way you speak, you kind of talk about at the pace of Orson Welles, maybe just a hair faster. And, you know, we even talked about that story yesterday and what it affected and done to the world, right?
Yeah.
It was a radio show that affected the world because people was, you know, listening to him as a live person talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to turn around and play a game, and a mind game.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing about it was, is what did we get? We got scientific study about the effects of what it did to the human race with that comment that was said on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Because people started killing themselves. Nowadays, it's crazy because they're a lot higher. You know, we got a lot, you know, a lot more taller buildings than they had back then. But they still had tall buildings, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the part. It's people believe, okay, but they don't believe until they see. They will not truly believe what you tell them. They have to see it with their own eyes. If they do not, it's like a disguise. They just put a mask on, and they might say, oh, I get it. You don't get shit. You can't vision nothing. You know what I mean? You ain't got no sight. If you do, guide me. You know, take me on a ride. And you do that with your voice. When you're on the radio, you do that with me. And I don't mind at all. That's why I'll sit silent. But, of course, when you unmiked me and got me going. So now I'm running my lips. And at least you're going, mm-hmm. See, I didn't even do that to you. I didn't want to interrupt you. I wanted to hear you. I just wanted to hear you go and tell me what's on your mind. Because your mind's your mind, right? My mind's mine. And that's what's fun about me and you, because we're like yin and yang all the way. We've good cop, bad cop. And what's funny is sometimes you're the good cop and I'm the bad cop. And that's all right, too, because you know what? I don't know what is truly going to happen in our show. They're unscripted. There ain't nothing that we're saying that's written. That's the beautiful thing. If somebody wants to come off their mic and say something, they can. And we're going to react, not with something written. This isn't a script. This is life. Just like you said, you can make a plan for tomorrow, but you really didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was paying attention when we had that discussion. I was listening because you're giving me your time, and so am I giving you mine. But this is the most valuable thing we have, and what value are we going to leave with it? You know, to me, that should be a conversation every time you have one. What are you leaving with it, and are you the only one benefiting? Is it mutually beneficial for what happens to this relationship of a conversation? It's not one-sided. So, you know, I don't know. I learn in every interaction, but I do like listening to you, you know, go off on the things that you know about and you've done research on and lived. Because I'm listening to you create, because I know that there's not a script. What do you got on? Go ahead.
I've come up with I get these downloads constantly, you know, just constant downloads. And the TIs out there, they know what I'm talking about, you know. And we're going to talk about TIs here in a minute, targeted individuals. But I get constant downloads, and I do lucid dreaming, vivid dreaming every night, you know, practically every night. And I travel to spaces and places that most people could only dream of in their wildest imaginations. And I talk to beings and entities and, you know, different shapes and sizes of beings. And I talk to little machine men that we come off of a DMT trip or an ayahuasca trip on. I go into these spaces and places that are just phenomenally wonderful and mysterious and powerful. I bring back really powerful information that nobody can comprehend. It's just, I come back speaking a different language, you know, and the English language, as you know, is runs from, you know, right to and the Hebrew language runs from left to right. The English language is a spelling language. It's a dead language. It's a programming language. And it was set into motion specifically by those masters of the universe who are running this whole show. And it was built for one reason and one reason only, and that is to do the damage that it has done today to all of us and the people around the world. Globally, on a global scale, the English language is responsible for all of these woes that we're going through right now. If you go into the ancient text and you go into the ancient Sumerian and Babylonian languages and the Greek and the Athenian and the Aramaic, you feel the power in these languages. You see the power in these languages. They're able to move 20-ton objects off the ground. They're able to have telepathy. They're able to fly. They're able to do these ultra human things, superhuman things. These languages were all created that way. The English language was brought in to dumb everyone down, to keep everyone stupid, and to keep everyone dispassionate and disassociated and confused and mixed up and depressed and stressed out and so forth and so on. And so a lot of people don't realize that they're drowning in a dead language. They're drowning in a dead language. They're drowning in a language that was created specifically to keep them running around in circles like a chicken with his head cut off, okay? And people just don't get it, you know? They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't study. They don't think. They don't ponder. They don't research. I want to bring people together, okay? That sounds so corny these days. It sounds so corny these days. Let me shake that up first, babe. Shake it really hard. I want to bring people together, but I want to bring people together with a vision, you know, a common vision, you know, to help others, but before you can help others, you have to be able to help yourself. You know, if you cannot help yourself, if you cannot make your own paycheck, if you cannot develop an income stream in the process of, you know, utilizing your imagination and creativity for your dreams and visions, you're not ever going to be successful. Never. You will never be successful. And there is a methodology to making a lot of money. There is a secret. There are many secrets, actually, to making a lot of money fast and easy, okay? It's not hard to make a lot of money. It is hard to learn how to make a lot of money. And I'm going to get your opinion on this in a minute, Chris. Making money is not really the thing. Creating money is another thing. Creating currency is another thing. Understanding the properties of currency, understanding the properties of fiat, understanding the properties of the derivative banking system and the fractional banking system and understanding all of these other mathematical anomalies and phenomena that happen within the passing of currency from one hand to another, which has been going on for millions and millions of years in some form or another, there is a secret to creating currency. It has nothing to do with capitalism. It has nothing to do with, being caring or giving, or it has nothing to do with philanthropy. It has nothing to do with really any of these things. It is a very, very hidden secret, and it has been hidden so well. I mean, it has been hidden so well behind such thick doors that are impenetrable, practically impenetrable. Because think about it. If everybody knew these secrets, everybody would be out making money. Everybody would be rich. Everybody would be fantastically wealthy, okay? So they're not going to give these secrets out. They're not going to pass these secrets out. They don't put them on the back of cereal boxes, okay? Now, there have been many books written about this, but very few people read. Very few people know how to read. And those that do know how to read don't know how to comprehend. And those who know how to comprehend are not going to follow through, okay? People buy books in the millions and millions on free. Buy real estate free. Buy real estate free. Buy real estate with no money down. Buy real estate with no money down. Buy tax foreclosures. You can do that all day long. All day long. I have two or three friends that have went out and made $1 million buying houses with no money down, okay? They just walk up and they flip these contracts, and they'll buy one house and not even set foot in it. They'll just drive by, and they'll like it, and they'll say, okay, I'll flip a contract, and they'll put a contract on it, and they'll flip it to another broker or another investor, and they'll make $20,000 on it, 30 minutes. And they made $30,000, you know. Are you doing this? No, of course, Chris, you're not doing this. Am I doing this? No, of course I'm not doing this. Why aren't we doing this? You know, we have to ask ourselves, why in the fuck aren't we doing this? You could buy tax foreclosures, go out to these tax auctions and buy houses for 10 cents on the dollar, 8 cents on the dollar. You can go down to the courthouse and meet the girls working the foreclosure department, and you get them, tip them a little bit, give them a 20 here and a dozen flowers there, and get to know them by first name, and they'll call you every time there's a hot one coming up. You know, they'll say, hey, Chris, I got a hot one coming up. You know, you can get this one for 8 cents on the dollar, man. Get out there and talk to John. Be there at 4:30 this afternoon, you know. Well, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we doing that, you know? And the affiliate marketing thing, you know. Why don't we have a direct connect? You know, Marion has 3 stores ready to open, but they're all affiliate. I said, just close them. Forget it. I don't want to work for the other fellow. I don't want somebody to sell somebody else's product, you know. Creating money. Think about that. Think about that. How do you become wealthy, you know? How do these people become wealthy? You say, oh, well, most of them had money. Most of them come from a bloodline that's wealthy already. You know, they come from kings and queens and princes and lords. And, you know, oh, well, some of that's true. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, George Carlin, you know, has made that great statement. You know, these folks have got a country club and you're not in it, you know. Well, he meant that. He meant that. It's a country club, all right. It's a secret club. And to get in that club is very, 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 very difficult to do. But once you get in that club, if you need $350,000, you just pick up the phone and it's a done deal. If you need $1 million or $1.5 million, you just pick up the phone. It's a done deal. Money is nothing. Money is nothing. People think, oh, it's so hard to make $1 million. Oh, it's so hard. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. $100,000 today is poverty level. Poverty level, you know.
You know, just do the math easy on this one, Kyler. Just tell him this. Penny a day doubled for 30 days.
Yeah.
You got over $5 million. So how smart do you need to be? You need to be able to know how to double a penny every day. And when you're done, you'll be rich. Mm-hmm. Figure it out, people. Start doing it. Now, if you do it, go ahead and cash at me $3.65. I need a penny a day myself. You know what I mean? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Share the wealth. If I just gave you $5 million, it's worth $3.65. Now, come on. There's 280 million people out there that might be listening. Come on. Do the math. I'll have a lot of money when it's over. I'll have more than you. So
I don't know. I don't know how hard you've studied this secret society wealth group. I don't know how hard you've studied money, currency, wealth, building. You know, this whole idea of working for a living has fucked a lot of people up. You know, the wealthy, they have never worked for a fucking, they've never worked for a fucking living, and there is nothing wrong with that at all. There is nothing wrong with that at all. To work for a living is a sin. It's a sin. It's a mortal sin. It is a crime against humanity. It is horrible. It is so dysfunctional and so terrible and so crazy to think you have to work for a living. Anybody who thinks they have to work for a living is an idiot. They're an idiot. They're a village, the village idiot. Look how many village idiots we have running around out here that think they have to work for a living. Okay? Look around you. Just look around you. Look at your own wife, maybe. Look at your neighbor. Look at your coworker. Look at the guys you run around with. They all think you have to work for a living. And that is a myth. That is it's an insane thought.
Actually, the way they've got it set up is you have to work to live, and you have to live to work. And all you're going to get is that, because a 9-to-5 will never retire you completely.
No.
And the thing is you're a creator every second of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you create is up to you. But if you had some inspiration, you might create something you didn't even think about, because you will. Okay. Because trust me, you're going to have a thought that you ain't thought about yet. And it's going to happen right now. And right now. And right now. So it's up to you what you do with those thoughts. And there's a whole bunch of seconds, and that's all you got. You got time. It's ticking by. And everyone that goes by and you do nothing with, just know that was you losing your value. So there's value in all of you, and it is about what you create, what you can make, because you can make things and create things that no one else can, but you can together as well and create things together.
But
it's hard. You said the together word, shit.
Here's the problem, though. See, here's the reality of it all. Here's the reality of it all. 1 in 10,000 people will listen to what you just said and run with it. Okay? Maybe.
Exactly.
1 in 10,000.
Maybe.
1 in 10,000. Maybe 1 in 25,000 people, okay, if we did the numbers. Like I said a while ago, there's books all over the shelves that teach you how to buy houses with no money down, buy commercial property with no money down, okay? But people buy the books, and they put them on the shelf, and there they are forever, okay? They read half the book. They get bored. They put it down. Oh, I can't do this. I'll never do this. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. There's books out there right now. I can teach people how to raise their credit score, okay, just by writing a certain kind of letter to the credit bureau, okay? I'm not doing it. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm not doing it. I'm not motivated to do it, but I'm doing it for myself, but I'm really not working on that part of it to help other people. There's ways to raise your credit score immediately. I mean, within like 6 months, you can go from 620 to 840 or 850, okay? That's a big jump. That's a big jump, okay? Just by writing a couple of letters, okay? People don't understand that. People can open LLCs and run through a trust, run money through a trust, open a trust, have a trust, I have, and then run an LLC or two, okay? Like the Biden family, for instance. But, you know, LLCs are ways to make money, okay? Living on debt. Everybody lives on debt. The wealthy live on debt. Debt, 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 debt. The whole world's based on debt, okay? The whole economy is based on debt, okay? There's no positive cash flow in this economy, okay? Wealth does not depend on positive cash flow, period. Depends on OPM, other people's money, and it depends on debt, 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 debt. Debt, 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 okay? And people say, oh, you have to have positive cash flow. No, you don't. People say, oh, you have to have credit to get credit. No, you don't. People say, oh, you have to work for a living to make. No, you don't. But then people ask me, how do you do it? Well, let me tell you something. It's a mystery. It is a mystery. Let me tell you, it is a mystery, okay? It is a phenomenal mystery, okay? But once you plug in, once you plug in to the right socket, okay, money just starts falling out of the sky on your head, okay? Once you plug in. And once you plug in once, once you make that first 100,000 on this secret society thing, it just comes from there. It just goes boom, 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 boom. Next thing, you got $10 million in the bank. No big deal. Marion and I have been working on this for a couple of years. This is how hard it is. Marion and I have been phenomenology, this this whole realm of currency, okay, for a couple of years. And it is very, 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 very difficult to grasp, okay? Very complex science, okay? It is a science and an art, okay? Yes, you have to get to know people. You need connections. You need people that trust you and that you trust them, even if you're both criminals. There's honor among thieves, right? You need to not necessarily meet good Christian people, okay? You can work with criminals, no big deal. Most everybody's a criminal one way or the other. They got money, a lot of money. They're doing something criminal somewhere, but it's legal criminal. It's legal criminal, okay? For instance, I'm ready to build a website. You know, you talk about Ronald and me getting together, building a real Ronald guy, building this website you're supposed to be building, which you haven't built yet, right? You haven't built. I've got the damn infrastructure for it. It's ready. I've got the infrastructure. It's finished. I've done my part. It's ready for you, Chris Collins. The infrastructure is built. The content is there, ready to go. Okay. So don't need any content. We got so much content we could sell content to other people. Is it a phenomenal website? Yes, it is a phenomenal website. Is it one of the most powerful in the world? Yes, it is one of the most powerful in the world. Now, getting it out there to people is another story, because they're blocking everyone now. They're censoring everyone now. They're stopping everyone now. They're demonetizing everyone now, okay? So you're fighting an uphill battle. We talked about this last night. You're fighting a tsunami. You're running head-on into a tsunami that's coming at you at 150 miles an hour. So that's difficult, okay? Even though you might have a fantastic idea, you're going to have to find a way to plug it. You're going to have to find a way to sell it, and you're going to have to find a way to get people to see it and like it and buy it, right? Buy into it. See, this is another problem, okay? Public relations, marketing, advertising, administration, the judiciary, learning how to do when, what, where, how, why, all that kind of stuff. You've been talking about a website. I haven't seen you do shit with a website. You don't have a website. To be safe, you need a .com. .orgs aren't doing that well right now, okay, unless you're an SDG, unless you're a student of Klaus Schwab over there at the World Economic Forum. Nonprofits aren't doing too well right now. Non-governmental organizations are doing very well. We're converting to a non-governmental organization from a 501c3. We're converting to an NGO. With an LLC, with a trust, but the thing about a .com, we need a .com, and you and I haven't even sat down and talked about it. You're not ever going to do anything without a .com. I don't care how many tiny houses you build in the street in front of the mayor's house. You're not going to do shit unless you have a .com. Unless you have a .com, you're not going to do shit. And unless that .com is being seen by 400,000 to 600,000 people, you're not going to do shit. Unless you're getting 2,000 to 3,000 hits a day, you're not going to do shit. Okay. So that's something for you to think about, is a .com. When are we going to build this .com? Okay. I've got the content. The content makes smoke come out of people's ears. Okay. Their hair stands straight up on their head. Okay. When are we going to get together and do something, like that? When are we going to build this thing? When are we going to build it out? Who's going to build it out for us? I'm not capable of building the one that I want to build. I'd love to use Dreamweaver. I'd love to be an expert in Dreamweaver. I don't know if you know anybody that is, but if we had Dreamweaver, we could get it built out really nice. To do a click and pull is not worth the shit. a Weebly kind of thing is not worth a shit, okay? You need a website that is active and current and colorful and noisy and beautiful and synchronistic and balanced and news that people can use and, you know, rubber meets the road, you know, kind of information, you know, that's highly sought after information, you know, constantly changing and being updated on a weekly basis, you know, current, present. So that's something we can do, okay? And we can put signs up on telephone poles. I noticed a guy up here, he's a power washing guy, right? I was driving around. I've seen him for a year now, okay? Power wash, power wash, power wash. Let me clean your gutters. Let me clean your gutters. Let me clean your gutters. Let me power wash your house. Let me power wash your driveway. Well, I got a hair up my ass one day, and I said, yeah, I'm going to call this guy. I'm going to have lunch with him. So I went over there, and we had lunch, and I sat him down. I said, how did you get started, man? How good are you doing? He goes, well, why don't you take a drive with me? So I take a drive with him, and we go over to this big warehouse, and he's got three big fucking trucks. He's got a three-bay warehouse. He's got all this equipment in it. He's got 8, 10, 12 employees, okay? He's bringing in $7,000-$8,000 a month, okay? $7,000-$8,000 a month. Him. That's clear profit, okay? I said, how did you get started? He said, well, I stopped putting ads in the paper, and I started putting signs on telephone poles, and I started sticking signs on every corner in the county. And he said, it just took off. So you got to think, if people are not seeing what you're doing, they're not going to call you. If people can't see your telephone number and what you're doing, they're not going to call you. If they don't like what you're doing, they're not going to call you. If it doesn't turn them on, they're not going to look at your website. If they look at your website, people have the attention span of a goldfish, okay? If they look at your website and they're not turned on within 12 to 18 seconds, they're gone. Bye-bye. See you later. Okay? So all of these things you should be listening to, and other people in the audience tonight should be listening to, because they're all very important things, okay, when it comes to making currency, creating currency. Let's don't talk about making money. It's impossible to make money. You cannot make money. You just can't. You can't make money. And if you're trying to make money, you're an idiot. You're the village idiot, okay? Currency is created, okay? Money has to be raised. It is not earned. Money has to be raised. It is not given. Okay? People need to understand this. I teach fundraising. Money is not to be raised. Now, what's the difference in given and raised? Well, raised is very complex. Raised means getting out there, mingling with the people, communicating with the people, interacting with the right people in the right places in the right spaces, saying the right thing at the right time. And making sure that everyone has a very comprehensive and complete idea of what you are doing and why you are doing it and where you are doing it and what the outcome is going to be and what the outcome has already been and what your future plans are and goals and objectives, both short-term and long-term objectives. And if you can pull that off, you can make $1 million. Any comments? I'm sure that some of you are hanging your head down in shame right now. I mean, should be thinking, well, I'm not doing shit. What am I doing? I'm not doing shit. What are you doing? What are y'all doing?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. All right. Heck, I was letting you talk. Heck, man, you just, you know, I guess you have done radio so much that you can do radio by yourself without any commentary because you got plenty to say, and then you turn around and right off the bat you're always got this quick ass question to put somebody back on the spot of talking. and it's fun, but it's also nice to give it a little pause and see if anybody out there that's sitting on the board that would like to speak. You know, you are unmiked. You do have the ability to unmute yourself and get involved in a conversation. That helps us create content, and that's what we're doing, right? We're content creators, right? We're creating that money. You know, this is how you create it. Right now, it's called social equity. Mm-hmm. You know, we're giving our time. We're sharing our mind. And it's whether or not there's going to be a long-term value effect. Now, between me and you, we're going to get value just in us having a conversation.
Uh-huh.
But it's the interaction. You know, we keep making those little innuendos. Hey, where's your comments? You guys can comment on these platforms. You can interact. We will interact with you. And we have had that, you know, where we get people that's doing it. And that's what makes this fun, you know. But at the other part, you know, if we've got people listening and they're just sitting there listening and they're not reacting, well, maybe they're listening. Maybe they're listening. They're not ready to react. Now, we can understand that. I'd be scared to death if you just got your eyes opened up and figured that out.
Well, I will be proud to say we've had 240,000 downloads on this show. And, you know, people say, well, what, did you make any money on that? No, I just stated it. I just made a statement. That's all. I just made a statement. I'm looking at my analytics here. Okay, we're spiked off. We're literally spiked off the damn board. I can't even see the spikes. There's 150 spikes I'm looking at here, and they all represent analytics and numbers, okay? And people might say, well, my God, that many downloads, what did it do for you? Well, it didn't do anything for me, really. I mean, I know that millions of people have heard my voice. And
I know that you have never listened to one of your shows, because neither have I.
Never. Never.
That's the funniest part. So millions of people have heard us talk, but we ain't never heard us talk. That's the strange part. I've never heard myself on the radio. That is funny. So
I have no desire. Yeah.
I don't either. I could care less. And I could care less to be seen, really. And I would rather be silent and hear others. I would rather hear you interact, be alive, and be accountable. Sit there and actually have a conversation with some intellect. You can interject in the conversation in any way you want, and you can do it good or bad. I don't care. You know, I mean, you know, I'd hate to have an argument with you, really. Now, you know, I wouldn't want to play Scrabble with you either.
I wouldn't want to play debater
with your ass either. You got too many words.
I was a top debater in college. I was top debater in college.
Man, I bet when you were out there on the boat deep sea fishing, you were a masturbator too, wasn't you?
Masturbator.
I knew it. I guarantee it. You probably had 45 fishing poles in the water and can get them all out, get the hooks out, and get them all baited back on. And, you know, I had a trip like that, and I had two masturbators that was baiting my hooks, and I was catching fish so fast. I'm on a 65-foot boat, and I went all the way out to the I guess it's the bow, or is that or is that the stern? Whatever's the front of the boat. I go up there and I'm catching these swells and we've got 30-foot seas. It was crazy. Dude, this thing would go to the top of the sky. I mean, it's like I was riding a Titanic, I swear. Mm-hmm. And I would go down and all I would see would be a wall of water in front of me, and I'd ride back up to the top of it. But I was catching fish, and I fished for 30 minutes. I caught more fish than everybody on the boat, and I was down in the galley throwing up when I hooked a king mackerel that was going to pay me a couple $1,000s.
Wow!
The cap, and I am climbing my way out of the galley of this boat, of this ship, to get to the top deck to catch that fish, because I'd have caught that fish. And when I get there, and I make it to the top galley, and I said, or the top deck, and I said, "Captain, let him run." About that time, pow, snap that damn wire. I said, "You owe me $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was 18 years old. I was like, oh, my money, man. I was pissed.
Yeah.
The whole thing was is I went on a sport fishing trip. If I caught the bait for the one of the big fish, I could fish for it. And I caught one. And like I said, I caught more fish than any freaking body. But I caught this ladyfish, and it's the number one diet of the king mackerel. And I caught one, and they hooked up this big pole, and they had it sitting there. But I, like I said, I only lasted 30 minutes riding that ride, dude. But whoo, what a ride.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget riding in front of that ship in that 30-foot seas. I was every bit 150 feet above the bottom of the water at some points when that 65-foot boat would only have the tail end of it in the water. The rest of it would be stuck out in the air and then drop down.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fall. What a fall, dude. It was like slingshot. Shoo, shoo, shoo.
Yeah.
You know, I got sick. I got seasick so bad it was unreal. But you know what? It, like I said, it was something I never forgot. You know, it was a trip that I would suggest anybody getting to go do. But don't ride in the back of the boat and think you're going to catch fish back there. Your bait needs to move around. My bait was moving at 150 feet every few seconds, man. And I'm telling you, I was reeling this back because every time it would drop down and, like, hit the bottom, man, I'd have fish on. I'd be reeling them back to the top. And it was fun. But the guys, I think even the ship crew got sick up there riding with me. They had to go. You know, I don't know. That was a good
I caught a marlin. I caught a marlin out of Key West one time.
That'd be great.
It took me 4 hours to get him in.
Wow. You know, I went fishing with my brother down in southern Illinois to this coal lake. And now my brother went back to that lake many times, went fishing, and did not ever, in no way, shape, or form, have the day that we had. Now, we get there. Now, on our way down there, we see the geese migration. So we see like a million geese in the sky. It was like all you could see was black in the sky from these geese flying. And it was unbelievable. It was unreal. We see it about 5 in the morning. Now, we don't get on the water till noon. And when we get out there, I'm telling you, it takes 5.5-6 hours to get there to this lake. We get out there, and the first fish we put in the boat was 20 pounds, and the last fish we put in the boat was 40 pounds, and we only fished for 3 hours. Pulls out, and the fish, when it hit, it spun the boat around 3 times, and I've got 3 poles because I'm trying to man my brothers and my two and get them reeled in so that they don't get tangled up in this fish. And so I'll tell you what, it's an art form when you're out there, but just realize that the fun is there, but you don't always have to take them home. You can put them back so somebody else can catch them.
Yeah.
And that's always been one of my loving things to do.
Yeah.
Because I can catch one and feed all of you, okay? I can throw the rest of them back. I love that part.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've been a shrimper out in the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, I was on a shrimp boat for a while, and I've been on an oil rig or two when I was at E&T and working on first aid crew for the oil riggers. And done a little bit of everything. I got my yacht, almost got my yacht certificate. But I didn't get it, but I still was taking boats out, and I was able to work with the captain. But I used to live on yachts. I've lived on a lot of yachts, lived on a lot of big boats. And, you know, back when I ran with the jet set, I think I told you the other night, we were running from yacht to yacht, Learjet to Learjet, and mansion to mansion, and, you know, place to place. And I never knew where I was any one time. I never knew where I was going to land next. We just went and had a limo waiting for us, and we would just go to a new mansion. I didn't know if I was in Paris, France, or I didn't know if I was in Acapulco. I didn't know and care. And I was partying 7 nights a week with the artsy fartsy groups and the foundation directors and all these big wigs, you know, money people. And I didn't use my head back then. I should have used my head back then. I didn't. I didn't know what I know now. If I would have known then what I know now, I'd be a billionaire today. Because I had the connections. I had the money being thrown at me. I had the talent. I had a chance to go to Nashville, the Grand Ole Opry. You know, I'm a singer. I'm a writer. You know, I play guitar. I've had all the chances in the world. I've had all the chances thrown at me in the world. And I've passed a lot of them up. You know, I'm a prolific writer. I'm a published author on Amazon.com out there. If you want to go look at my books under the Modern Evolution of Minds, I have several books published. I've got over 3,000 articles around the world. You know, but all this stuff with the diamond, you get a cup of coffee, maybe. You know, it doesn't mean a whole lot today. The Lone Wolf series. If you'll go to Amazon.com and go to the Lone Wolf series, you'll see all my books, y'all. If you'd like to buy one, I'd appreciate it. I never do advertise it. First time I've advertised my books in months. But if you go to Amazon.com and go to the Lone Wolf series, you'll see the better side of me. I've got some really, really uplifting stuff over there, really, that I've written. But not a millionaire author, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. I've written a documentary that I've got a movie producer friend of mine in Austin who's thinking about selling to Netflix, which would be pretty cool. And I've got this other top secret idea that you and I haven't even talked about. We haven't been encrypted enough yet to talk about it. If I could find a couple of coders, we could be worth about, I'm saying, $25 million. Yeah, easy. If I could just find a couple of good coders. Now, why is it so hard to find a couple of good coders? I've talked to so many people, and you know, I've even offered them, you know, do you want to make a percentage of this? You know, just find me a couple of coders like Elon Musk did and get them in the garage out there, get them working, and let's put them to work. Let's get prototype, and let's sell it to whoever, you know, and just whatever. But I haven't found the coders yet. Maybe Chris Collins can find some coders. They're going to have to be master coders, but going to have to be pretty good coders. Not master coders, but pretty good coders. I hack. You know, I hack. I'm a hacker. I'm not a coder. There's two different lines of thoughts there, you know. Computer science, computer engineering, and so forth. Software expertise, hardware expertise, hacking expertise, coding expertise. Different languages that we speak, you know, from HTML to COBOL to the old Fortran to everything else. We had seven people. I'm going back to that seven number. 3, 6, and 9 is what I should be thinking about. Tells us 3, 6, 9, 18. Maybe I say six people. Maybe that'll work. We had 6 or 7 people that think like we do. You're scatterbrained, okay? I'm scatterbrained. You and I are scatterbrained, okay? We are. We're scatterbrained. And even at 67, I can admit that I'm still scatterbrained. I need people to lock me into the stirrups, you know, help lock me into the stirrups. I remember the last day in our road, which would be the last horse I'll probably ever ride, was one of the fastest, most stout stallions I've ever ridden, white stallions. Marion's eyes were as big around as silver dollars when I rode that son of a bitch. But that was the last day in our road. That was a few years ago. I want to get back on that stallion, you know, one more time. I want to get back on that stallion, and that means pulling a group together of top gun minds, top gun thinkers, top gun critical thinkers, top gun people with imagination and passion and grit and toughness and experience and talent and vision and all that stuff, you know, creativity, critical thinking skills. If we had those kind of people on our team, I can put us in the $1 million mark overnight. Now, I just told you something, and I don't know how you're going to respond to it. It's like, well, that's great, man. That's great. I'll call you tomorrow. We'll talk about it next week or something. I'm telling you what I can do. I'm codependent. I have a problem. I have a dysfunction. I have a disability. And that disability is I don't like to do things by myself. I like to teamwork. I like teamwork. I've always been a team player. I've always been codependent with people. I've always had this dream of finding other people, you know, who really are just out there, just, I mean, just so fucking and creative and hard as grit, hard as nails and tough and smart and visionaries. And, you know, they're ready to go, baby. They're ready to sink their fucking teeth into this stuff, you know. I've got the stuff. We don't have to build anything, okay? I've got the stuff. We just need to put it together. We just need to put it together. That's all. The puzzle pieces are all laying on the table. We just need to put them together. And when they put together, it fit perfectly together. They're beautiful, and they work, okay? I just need some coders, a couple of coders, maybe a couple of graphics guys, and maybe a website. We work. Mary's good with websites, so I need one person to assist her. And $1 million is in the bank. Done deal.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have at Berklee College in New York, there are interns and just college students. They each have to do 120 hours each, and every 90 days there's a rotation. All we need is for you to put an ask of what the project is, and we'll put it on the board, and then students will come on and take on the task.
Okay.
So you've got 14,000 man hours at your disposal.
I have this project that if we could just get the right people on it, my God, it's going to just, oh my God, it's going to be just unbelievable. Literally unbelievable. We're just going to have to get on it. I guess I'll get that to you, and you can get the you'll have to sign. Yeah, Mary's saying you'll have to sign paper. We know all about non-disclosure. We know all about that kind of shit. Shut up, Mary. I can't hear. I've got all kinds of terrible world news tonight and geopolitical news tonight that I'm not even probably going to put out. I probably will say that closer to nuclear war tonight, and we're closer to complete blackout here in the United States than we were last week when we talked on the air. We're probably 20% more. It's amazing how dangerous the situation that we've gotten ourselves into is here. I mean, it's really, really, really bad. We're talking just really, 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 really bad. You know, I called you and told you we'd gone to DEFCON 1. And that ain't no lie. I mean, we're in a dangerous situation here. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm not, like, terrified or scared or anything like that. It's just the way it is. It is what it is. New York, folks. I've got this breaking news here. I'm going to say this. New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, she has made this law, okay? She's got the law coming out. Manhattan congestion is so bad. Vehicles, dollars to see, motorcycles, change Americans, just go to work in the morning, are going to have to pay, Governor says. Governor Kathy Hochul says now we have too much congestion pricing. Americans will have to pay around $23 per day to get to work. Passenger car, motorcycle, $7.50. Passenger vehicle, $15. Trucks, $24 to $36 a day to get to work. This is the new law, daily driving rate for New York City passengers and people just to drive to work. Now, this is insane. This is crazy. I told you all this was coming. See, I told you all this was coming. You didn't listen to me. It's here. You know, these are tolls and trolls and taxes. And they would be in effect right away, pretty much, coming into effect 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to be on the road, okay? You're going to have to pay that. Just wanted to drop that in your little mind there, okay? Wanted to drop that in y'all's mind, okay? It's coming here where you are. It's coming to your city, okay, where you got to pay to get on the road. And many of you aren't going to be able to get on the road because you don't have any money. Can't even pay your rent. Can't pay your electric bill. Can't pay your gas bill. You can't even buy food, you know? Your food stamps run out. I mean, they're trying to get people to where they don't drive. They ride a bicycle or ride a Jackass or one of those electric little vehicle things, motor scooters, those things. And they're forcing everybody into this, you know, by putting this climate tax toll on everyone, which is here. You know, porn is selling real well. I'm looking at it on my Facebook page here. They're always putting this soft porn up. Temu.com. Temu.com. Can't take my eyes off of it. Sexiest women in the fucking universe. Sex sells, you know. If we wanted to open up an adult bookstore online or adult toy shop, I guess we could make money, right? It's amazing. I'm looking at all these stores. Temu is owned by a company in China, actually controlled by China, and they're cleaning up. They're making millions. I looked into their financial reports. Selling all this sexy lingerie to kids 8 years old and up to women 28, 29, 30, 40, 50. Making tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of money. What do they say about the news? Dog bites man. It's not any news at all. Man bites dog. Yeah, it's news. Well, I'll tell you, baby, you got to find your niche. You got to find your niche to make money. You got to find something people want to buy, something people need, something people can't do without, or at least they think they can't do without it. But getting back to this thing with Chris and I, you know, if we could put this team together, it's kind of making me want to puke. It makes me sick to my stomach. I've been talking about it for years.
Well, you know, I had a pretty amazing conversation today. I've been having a few of them in the past few weeks, but today one got set in motion. So we've got people that are coming together, and it's going to be more than seven, but we're all going to be intentional, and it's going to be about disaster, relief, recovery.
Send him that disaster book.
So we're going to be creating the full pamphlet and basically a one-stop shop to get this right, and we're going to implement it. But
well, I wrote the book. You can have.
I wrote the book. We're going to need it. We want it. We want to put it right on the table. We want to add to the book.
Well, it's on its way to you right now.
You got it written, and we're going to add to it.
It's on its way to you right now.
All right, perfect. And just know that there's going to be some meetings come up, and they're going to be kind of probably at short notice, just for the fact I want to start bringing a few together, regardless on whether or not how many show up or not. But I want to get them working together. So there is going to be movement, and it's going to start happening after today. Throughout this holiday season, we're going to keep working.
Well, I'm a trauma team specialist and disaster specialist, and we are independent, as you know, 501c3, going to an NGO, non-governmental organization.
Yeah.
And we wrote the book on this thing, and I don't think anybody has a better book out there. She's sending it to you right now, 84 pages. We can expand it to around 150 pages.
I ain't saying that there's a better book right now. That between that book and what's going to be put in that book, so that the revised parts that's not in the book, that's what's going in the book. Because we got those tried and true solutions. We're going to put them down, stamp them in the ground, and we've got it all the way to the HUD desk that passes everything. Before it even gets anywhere, it goes here.
Okay.
We're getting and we got it internal.
Let me tell you what's special about our group, and you probably are not even going to be able to tell me this if I asked you to first. What sets us apart, okay? Now, you need to be unique, or you just blend into the woodwork and nobody can see you. You know this, okay? What sets us apart is we specialize in prepping, okay? Prepping, okay? This is where everybody's going right now, prepping. Everybody's starting to wake up. Everybody's starting to get prepped. They want in bags. They want bug-out bags. They want stuff for the forest, to live in the forest. They want tents. They want fire starting equipment. They want this and that and lanterns and batteries and knives and hooks and, you know, all kinds of shit. So our whole thing is prepping, disaster management and disaster preparation, preparing for the disaster, getting ready for the grid down situation, getting ready for the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse, getting ready for the tsunami, getting ready for the asteroid, getting ready for the grid down situation, getting ready for the major hack. That's what the book's about, baby. That's why the book stands out, okay? We go on everything. We go over everything, okay? This is not a Band-Aid book. This is not a fucking Band-Aid book. This is not a goddamn Band-Aid box book, okay?
That's right.
And that's what's going to turn people on. That's what's going to turn people on. Plus, if we can find some original manufacturers and not be an affiliate of some jackass and start selling our own product through this book and through the organization. And
well, what I was just sitting here thinking was we need to put the people that don't have a purpose with a purpose, and that's prepping others to be where they are right now. And at the same time, we turn them into monetization of making a product.
Well, see, they can be affiliates of ours. You see, that's the good thing. See, that's the good thing. Now, that sounds dirty, doesn't it? That sounded dirty. Me putting affiliates down, and now I'm wanting other people to be our affiliates. Does that sound kind of an oxymoron? But anyway, I'm telling the truth. Now, we'll pay people. You and I, we're not the type of people to rip people off. You and I, if we hire affiliates, if we bring affiliates into our marketing program for prepping equipment, you and I are going to make it worth their while. You and I are not going to say, we'll give you all 3% of, you know, this $37 deal, you know, we'll give you. You and I are more giving than that. We're not going to screw people in our affiliate program. But once our affiliate program takes off and we can find the right manufacturer around the world, wherever they may be right now, that are producing the kind of a quality equipment we need, including the freeze-dried food and all of the other that goes with it, we'll pay our affiliates well, and we'll be well-known, and we'll be respected like the Canadian Prepper, okay? So, yeah, through our affiliate marketing program, you and I can probably make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a month right off the bat. And our people can make $400-$500 a month extra in extra income to help them pay their electric bill, gas bill, whatever, just by putting our products and stuff and services on their page or group or wherever they're at. Plus, we can advertise it on the radio show. Marion just put the book in your message box, so I wanted to let you know that. You don't check your message box very often, so I'm going to kick your ass on that one. You need to check your message box more frequently, and it'll help you to become a quicker millionaire. I've got a lot of stuff in your message box you haven't even touched. I know you haven't even looked at that I've done for you, for us. And you need to look at that. And is Ronald, do you have a guy that will work with Marion on our .com so we can go ahead and get it going? I've got 500, 700 different things to put in there, ready to go. Some of the hottest damn videos in the world. Some of the hottest damn shit in the world. Some of the hottest articles in the world. Some of the hottest information in the world. I've got every damn patent on mind control technology, a U.S. patent on every damn one of them, ready to go right now. I'm looking at it right here. I mean, I have the hottest damn .com in the world with all of our nonprofit stuff on it, our causes, our vision, our dreams, everything, our goals, our objectives. We need some help with this website, though. Elizabeth, are you still here? You want to speak up? I see you here. 312, is it 312? 312? Hello? 312-735. We're going to go to a quick song, and then we'll be back. And I hope somebody steps up and says a few words. We're going to go to a little song here that I like that Chris Christopherson used to do. I'm not sure if it's him doing it here now, but we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with Chris Collins, Tim Dawson, and the Lone Wolf, the one and only Wild Man of Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning, no way to hold my head, it didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled through my closet for my clothes, found my cleanest dirty shirt. And I washed my face and combed my hair, stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small boy cussing at a can that he'd been kicking. I crossed the empty streets, caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was gone. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. Nothing short of dying, oh, half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw Daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school, listened to the songs that they were singing. Bringing in the sheets, and I headed back for home. Somewhere far away, a lonesome bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyon like the disappearing dreams yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was strong. There's something about a Sunday that'll make your body feel alone. There ain't nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Sunday morning coming down. Two of my good friends, and I used to play with Johnny Cash and Kris Kristofferson. Those were the good old days, I tell you. Those were the good old days. They'll never be back again, and I miss them so bad I just almost cried during that song with Chris and Johnny singing together there. We used to get pretty drunk together, I'll tell you. And those were the good old days back with Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, being on the bus with Hank Williams Jr.
Man, I miss those days. I tell you, I could have went somewhere, could have done something, could have, would have, didn't, should have, would have, could have, didn't. And if hands and butts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every damn day, gay, dead, day. Yeah, it would. But the memories are there. The memories are there. And I'll never lose those memories. We lost 312-73 Fauna. She just kind of freaked out about this whole show, as many people are. People just can't grasp this caliber of show we do here. It's just so fucking hot to touch. We just go through people like dominoes falling off the table. It's amazing how weak people are, how weak-minded people are, how little people think of themselves. They just think they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it, you know. It's like that ever-ready bunny, man. You got to just keep on going, man. You got to just keep on pushing, man. You know, like the little train that could. You just got to keep on pushing through this fog of war, through all of this dystopia, through all of this insanity. You just got to keep on keeping on, baby. That's all you can do, man. You just got to keep on keeping on, man. You can't lay down. You can't hide. You can't cry. You can't give up. You got to just keep on going, man. It's just like a football game, man. It's like a quarterback sneak. You know, I tell Marion all the time, I'm teaching her that quarterback sneak, you know. And you didn't throw it off to the tight end. It just looked like it. It was sleight of hand. You got that ball right underneath your damn gut, and you're just running straight up the damn middle for that touchdown. And that's what you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. But, yeah, I played with all the greats, and I have those memories to hold in my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. It's beautiful. I love it. I miss Grandma's house. I miss going in the old storm shelter when the tornadoes were flying by. I miss going out in the garden and finding little baby rabbits underneath the carrots in their little nest. And I miss picking all them fresh vegetables when they weren't GMOs and herbicides and all kinds of crazy, crazy poisons on this food that they put on there now. We didn't have that back then. Milking my cows, churning my butter up and my cream, the old churn there at Big Mama's house, and going out and killing a chicken in the chicken yard and bringing it in, cooking it for supper with some real potatoes out of the garden and some turnip greens, swinging in the old tire on the big old oak tree in the front yard there with the grandkids, and having a crush on the girls. And oh my God, those were the days. I tell you, those were the days when a French kiss really meant something. You know what I mean? You get older and just, I don't know, you just don't French kiss anymore. It's just it's amazing. I thought about that the other day when I was looking at Marion. I kissed her. I kiss Marion all the time. Just kiss her. I would French kiss her. I just kiss her, you know. And you don't find couples that have been together, you know, for several years just really licking each other's throats out. You know what I mean? Am I right, Chris? Am I right?
You don't want to picture that, right?
Am I? But don't remember that first French kiss? Remember those first French kisses? How magical and mystical and beautiful they were, and then you get older and it's like, ugh, what are we doing? I don't even know how to do this anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, when you're young and then everything's new and it's that excitement period, you know, you're like figuring out that she actually likes you too, you know. That's always a nerve-wracking thing for a young man to go through, you know. I'm not sure how the woman is going through that, because
yeah.
I wasn't one. But at the same time, you know, now I see so much more outgoing of females versus the way it was. See, it's totally different, you know, and so I don't know what their experiences are like, because the way I'm looking at it is they're experiencing that shit early, because think about what they're teaching them in preschool now, you know, and in kindergarten and first grade, and there ain't no way.
We've got kids in our, we've got kids here from our special school down the road, and I talk to the 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds all the time, and they're talking about masturbation, going over to Susie's house tonight and sneaking out and having a circle jerk and playing with each other and dildos and butt and all that. They're, these kids are brilliant at 12 years old, 13. They're already way ahead of us. Hell, when I was 16, I didn't know anything about this shit. But, you know, it's just nothing now. Nothing at all for these
Well,
kids.
No, I mean, now they're teaching it in school. They're then they're teaching them whether or not they're a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
They're whatever, and they can be whatever, and
they're advocating just, masturbation. They're advocating masturbation.
Yeah, I mean, and then they're also teaching our kids not to
tell your parents.
Not to tell the parents how to keep it from us.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's the Marxist 10 planks of the Marxist Communist Manifesto.
Well, I know Target paid $2 million for that technology to be put into the school system.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. Then they started selling products that are offshoots from the training and teaching in Common Core and all the other sexualizing that they're doing to the children, of course. But yeah, it's amazing. I don't like to get into that subject as much as I used to because I go too far and I get in trouble because of the things I say about young women. You know, if they bleed, they breed. That's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. But people don't like to talk about that. They just, especially some, well, actually more women come out for me than men. Actually, men don't. Men lie. Men just lie. You know, women, they'll come out and tell me, oh, you're right, Kyler. You're so right. Damn, you're right on, spot on, man. Jesus, it's great. And men will say, oh, you pervert, you pedophile, you son of a bitch, talking about young girls like that. Well, you know, they'd suck the knob off a trailer hitch, these guys would, you know, in private, but get them a little drunk. But in public, they won't tell the truth. They're just pathological liars. And they're afraid to tell their girlfriends or their wives what they really want, what they really think, and what their perversions really are, and their fetishes, dysfunctions, and all that kind of crap, you know. Afraid of any of it. I don't give a shit. I got 3 fucks for you. I don't give a shit what you think about me. I tell the truth. I'd rather tell the truth than 3 lies. I'd rather tell 1 big truth that's going to get me in a whole lot of trouble than 4 fucking lies. Anyway, you know. But the whole thing is men have always been attracted to young girls. And that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Any man that says he's not is a goddamn liar. A goddamn liar. And I've said that 1,000 times on the show. 1,000 times at least. 1,000. And women are attracted to young boys. They're attracted to young boys. And they won't tell their husbands. It's harder to get out of women than it is men. Women hold it really deep inside. You know, they'll look at the pool boy out there with a hard on, with his little bathing suit on, you know, raking the leaves out of the pool, and they're thinking, oh, my God, they're creaming their pants. But they will never tell their husband that or their boyfriend. Never, ever, 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 unless that's the kind of relationship they have. That's all I'm going to say about that tonight. I don't want to get off on that. It's a whole different show. That's a whole different show. Yeah, we ran 312 off. But we've had a good show tonight. We got a few minutes left here, about 10 minutes left. And I just want to say to you guys that this everybody's got their hand on the nuclear button, folks. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there, every dictator, the 3 main dictators have left Qatar, gone to Iran. They've escaped to Iran. This is a bad sign, folks. It's a bad sign, folks. It's a real bad sign. Thinking about attacking Libya, going into across the border of Ukraine there, using nuclear weapons. We've got Ukraine was hacked, the greatest hack in history since computers began. Ukraine was hacked yesterday, day before. They've lost everything, all power. They have no power at all. No phones, no computers, nothing. Russia's getting ready to walk over them, about 500,000 troops. And NATO is falling apart as we speak. And China is just waiting for the moment to take Taiwan. We've got soldiers in Taiwan. We've had a military base there forever. But
China's been invading their airspace now for a while, and they've been tantalizing all these people. The Houthis have been blowing up ships, our ships and some other ships, over the last week, and the Houthis are really becoming powerful, along with the Sunnis and Shiites. And, of course, Hamas and Hezbollah is still dead set on destroying Palestine and the West Bank. So, folks, you sit here and listen to me, and you go, well, you know, he's back to that same old bullshit again. Well, you're going to think bullshit. You're going to think bullshit when the fucking lights go out. Let me tell you, folks, that's what they're going to do. They're going to put our lights out first. And that's the plan. They're going to put our lights out. And our infrastructure is so weak. There's 7 major grid systems here in the United States that if they hit 6 of them, the whole United States goes dead dark. Okay? And don't think that they don't have a back door into those 7 systems. Don't think they don't have a back door into every goddamn computer and every goddamn phone that you have and smart TV and Alexa and your smartwatch and everything else. Okay? We're as close to Armageddon right now. We're as close to the end of the world as we know it right now as we've ever, 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 ever been. And they have the power to blow this fucking little popcorn planet in half. We've got so much goddamn nuclear power out there right now ready to fire off. It's fucking believable, folks. If you only knew. If you only knew. You wouldn't sleep a fucking wink tonight if you knew what I knew. If you knew what I know. If you could see what I hear, as the song goes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I know even people like Chris don't like to think about this. I mean, most people don't like to think about the truth. They don't really care. They can't grasp it all. Like Chris said, I think Chris said last night and tonight maybe, people just can't grab a hold of this. They don't want to. They can't. They just don't want to. But, folks, I can just tell you, you've got terminal cancer. It's incurable. It's incurable. I'm using that as a metaphor as to where we are from a geopolitical standpoint. The game is fucking over. I mean, it's fucking over. There's only one way it can end, and that's Armageddon. There's only one way it can end. That's Armageddon. And they're going to fight a kinetic war first. They're going to bring us together. They're going to put us in civil war here first in the dark. They're going to put us in the dark. They're going to take away our water, take away our food. They're going to take away our freedom. They're going to take away our freedom of speech, which they've already done. They're going to take away our right to travel. They're going to put us on CBDC. They're going to put us on digital passport, digital ID. Put us in smart cities agenda. Divide us up into 7 zones. They're going to start charging us carbon tax. They're going to start surveilling the fuck out of everyone. You're not going to be able to go to the toilet without a goddamn digital ID. And then they're going to knock the goddamn lights out on us. No water, no gas, no petrol, no phone, no watch, no computer, no nothing. And no goddamn anything. And then they're going to fucking come in and we're going to be killing each other, eating each other's goddamn cats and dogs and children. And then they're going to come in and just wipe us off the face of the goddamn planet. And so I think Chris and I need to get on the ball, get some shit going, don't you, Chris? Before all this shit comes down, which it's coming down right now.
You know, we're on the ball doing these things. We are getting something done. But you know what? Whether we make a difference, don't know. If
I'm happy.
People
try
pay attention that we're trying, and maybe they start helping, and the difference gets bigger, that makes a difference. So.
Well, what I like about you is, what I like about you, Chris, or I love about you, is you do not beat around the bush. You know we're in trouble. You know it's terminal. You know that we're not going to escape this pain and suffering that we've caused through our inaction and our stupidity and our passivity. You know what's coming. But you're like me. You're still happy. You're still happy-go-lucky. You're still out there. We're still fighting. You and I are going to be fighting like that big marlin. It took 4 hours to pull in. You and I are going to keep pulling. We're going to keep pulling. We're going to keep pulling. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting until the goddamn boat sinks. Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we love y'all a whole bunch in a digital kind of way. And for those of you who have come on this show just to use us and make fun of us and slander us and libel us and cut up and go on and troll us, I got 3 fuck yous for you. And, you know, it's just not a good thing to do that, folks, because we're real dead serious. Chris and I both on what we do here. We're very dead serious. And so is Michael. When he's on, he's not sick. We're very serious about what we do here. And Tim's very serious about what we do here. Tim wouldn't have been with me 20 years on air. He's here now. You know,
I do believe the 312 was Kathleen.
I think Kathleen's had enough of us. I think she's had enough. I think smoke's coming out of her ears right now, and she's going, "Oh my God!"
Well, no, we just kind of got off on a little thing, and next thing you know, you said a few things just like you said. We don't talk like that on the radio no more because we don't want to turn people away from having a conversation or listening to us have a conversation.
Well,
and
we gave her plenty of time since the beginning of the show. I opened her mic up. You know. I gave her plenty of time, you know, to talk, and she just didn't talk. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow night, same time, same channel, Thursday night, and I'm sure we will have a dynamic show as always, and I want to thank our sponsor out there, Tomlin Sires, for the wonderful work that they do there in Eugene, and I'm going to give them the number tomorrow there. We've been putting them on all the neighborhood pages here. And we've been got a Delta 1 code if you want 10% off your tires and repairs over there at Gene, Oregon. They're out there on 99 North. Give them a call. I'll give you their number tomorrow night. But y'all take care. Chris, take care. Have a good night. And let's think about what we've said tonight and try to follow through on some of these things.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.